This is the Agile Hong Kong podcast. In this episode, you'll hear 5 tips on helping your teams adopt more intermediate level practices, and you'll also hear feedback from an engineering perspective on each of those tips.
Before coming to sprint planning, what are the components each story should have? That means proper description. What are the assumptions? What are the business values this story is bringing?
You'll hear from Brijendra Yadav, an enterprise agile expert, and Sean Coleman, an engineering lead.
It's very tempting as an engineer to just wander off onto the next thing and never think about that again. But if you aren't seeking feedback and you aren't trying to learn from feedback, you are missing opportunities to be good to yourselves in the future.
So stay tuned for more tips and more discussion. My name is Daryl, and I'll be your host today. So big thank you to Sean and Brijendra for joining today's episode. How about you start by introducing yourselves?
Hi, my name is Sean. I am a developer. I've been developing for 15 years. I'm currently engineering lead at a fintech here in Hong Kong. My background's in PHP and improv comedy.
Well, let's see if we get to hear a little bit of that later on. And what about you, Brijendra?
Thanks for having me here. My name is Brijendra Yadav. I've been in Agile, I would say around 8 years, very hands-on there. I come from as a software developer background, but mostly last 10 years working on Agile Scrum Master, Digital Delivery Manager, Project Program Manager role. My expertise, I would say, hands-on the managing large-scale Agile Digital Transformation Project.
So we have a pretty simple flow for this episode. Brijendra is going to share a tip, and then Sean is going to share some feedback on that tip, either supporting it or maybe asking some questions to challenge. And we'll go through each tip one by one, 5 tips in total. So Brijendra, how about tip number one?
My tip number one is to never skip the basics, but vary their approaches based on the context. What that means? So you try to do the same basics in different ways to try what best fit for your team, given that context within the environment for the team, such as, I would say, try a different set of a daily scrum, see what time best fit for and how team wanted to run, get better outcome. Also, maybe try to see if you have the challenges to deliver the stories within a sprint. Try to see running the one-day sprint, how that forced team to really work as a together to really slice the features, user stories that can fit to develop, testing, and deliver end-to-end feature. I'd love to hear what the thought from Sean on that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I love this tip because every software project is different, and perhaps more importantly, every software team is different. And so it's always good to be looking out for ways to tweak your approach and make sure that what you're doing is working in the context that you're doing for it. I think it's great to look and vary these things. I will say that there's a fairly easy trap to fall into that I've seen before, is that sometimes the team will be resistant to change or will be hesitant to commit to something if it's difficult at first. You can sometimes see a tendency of, this is too hard, this is terrible, let's just all go to Kanban instead. And that's a thing to be aware of. So when I'm running experiments with different ways of working in different software, sometimes it's good to sit down at the beginning of the experiment and say, okay, if we see this, we'll know that it's working. If we see that, then we'll know that maybe we should do something next time, and have a plan for how you're going to react if something works really well or if something needs to be changed.
So Brijendra, as part of these basics, I'm curious to know more about this one-day sprint. How does that work?
Choose one specific story. Just ask them, okay, we have to finish this story by end of this today, and you have to demo end-to-end. That means you planning with the product owner and Scrum Master within the planning this morning, and then you finding what are the tasks needed and to properly estimate and develop and test and deliver and demo by end of the day. Why demo? It means after this demo, you can able to put this in production. So that's really forced them to think of all aspects of what we needed to finish within a day. So that's kind of experiment and very useful sometimes to bring team together to really work as a one entity, one team to finish something. Yeah.
Sean, have you done something like that before?
Big fan of vertical slicing, and the narrower you can get an implementation and the thinner you can get a story going, the better. I was on a team once where we were launching a new microservice. We were migrating something from this gigantic monolith into its own dedicated thing in the cloud, but it was involving working with some technology that the team hadn't done before. So we said, okay, version one of this is just string as a service. We'll make a web service that literally returns a naked two-character hard-coded string, and we'll work through all the definition of how we're going to do that, how we're going to work with the platform team to make that possible, how we're going to work with the other services that are going to be consuming that. So that was, I think, the narrowest slice of anything I've done in a while. That was definitely a fun experience. I would be worried if packing all of the ceremonies of a Scrum sprint into one day every day would result in some overhead. So I would maybe want to just check in with the team and see how they were feeling after a couple of these sprints and what their experience of it was.
Thanks, Sean. So trying to churn things out to production in one day if possible, that's part of tip number one, where focusing on varying the basics to suit your context. How about tip number two?
Tip number two from my side, I would suggest a Scrum Master team to set up some kind of self-assessment framework for teams so they can have clear strategy what they wanted to focus now in the future. What my personal experience, I used to have two level of that assessment. One is a handy, very simple framework for the team. Each retrospective, I bring the setup on shared drive and Excel-based framework where we had different, based on different kind of dimension, you can have the team level, individual level, as well as the technical level, as well as the overall product goal and how we fit agile processes, Scrum Master itself. So it give the, before I go to any retrospective, I'll share with my team, say, okay, we have like 10, 20 minutes before we go to retrospective. So every team member give the number for each different dimension. And that's give the team for us to really discuss, okay, this time, this sprint, we feel like these are the different dimensions not really doing good. And then that's as a Scrum Master, you can say, okay, let's discuss those areas. Because if we keep doing a similar kind of what went well and not went well and what to improve, bring the data, collect as much as data that help you to really drive the discussion during the retrospective.
Okay, and just to help paint the picture, what type of areas would you look at here?
How are we working as a one? And do we have trust? Conversation happening properly from senior management, product manager, product owners to the team? Are we able to deliver frequently? We don't have proper DevOps pipeline. We do not have proper tool set for developers. Why we are lacking of the quality? It's because of we don't have time to test, or there's no skill set or a tool set. What could be the quality aspect, technical design excellence, how you maximize values. So are we really aligning the overall goal, business strategy to maximize the goal, or just simply delivering features that doesn't make any sense?
Okay, it sounds like a lot for teams to assess and look at. Sean, have you used anything similar?
I have had mixed results with maturity assessment frameworks. When it's been on the level of individual Scrum teams and their relationship with their individual Scrum Masters, it's been good to be able to build up a conversation in that sense, and an ongoing series of measurements. That's something that you can build on, and that's great. I've also had experiences where we've set up the big official company-wide quarterly maturity survey. And then the person who was running that initiative left the company, and then we never did a second quarterly one. So
okay.
If you're going to be measuring this data and collecting it, I think it's good to be able to commit to the act of measuring it and to make sure that the appropriate people are able to get the appropriate resources behind that, whatever that ends up looking like in your own particular context.
I'm using very handy Excel base. So we set up. So there's a, you can use the reference from the SAFe, like they have business agility assessment and other agile assessment from there. I'd love to share if anybody or after this podcast, maybe I'll connect with you to share some more detail on that framework. And for my team, it's retrospective level. I personally set up the kind of very simple one because I didn't want to have every sprint every 2 weeks, my team going through a ton of questions. It's very simple, 4 or 5, 6 dimension to that more focus on the sprint level. And it's put in the shared drive. I combine both the graph team radar. So it gives the picture, okay, since last sprint, where we improve, where we lack. And that's give the idea for team to discuss, okay, why are we lacking this particular axis? Let's say agile ceremonies or technical excellency side, or I'm not happy within last 2 weeks. What was the reason? And so we give the kind of framework to team to open up or discuss on certain area.
Okay, so maturity models as a bit of a guide for how teams can continue developing. Okay, thank you both. How about tip number 3?
Kind of related to what I have said before, it's have meaningful retrospective. Use different themes and root cause analysis technique to go deeper in the problem, such as you can use 5 whys to diagnose root cause and select the different themes, such as based on the different phases of the product lifecycle. So if you're early product development lifecycle, you can have different ways of doing retrospective. Change the overall theme to really bring, otherwise team get bored. In my personal experience, there are a few times happened that we just skip the retrospective because the overall chaos or firefighting, or we wanted to deliver or something else going on. So team thought, okay, why are we spending 1 hour extra? In longer run, it make more harder to improve. We have to really inspect and adapt. That's the overall core for a Scrum team. So I would say have meaningful retrospective, use different theme and techniques to improve from there.
I can say that as a developer, I've seen different kinds of retrospectives, and sometimes they're just reskinned in a different trivial way. So this week we're doing what made us mad, sad, and glad, and this week we're drawing a boat. And sometimes, depending on the team, they can have different reactions to the format. Like one that's heavy on emotions with a team that's not used to programming while deeply in touch with their emotions. Sometimes people bounce off of that. But I definitely agree that retrospectives are incredibly important. You have to close that feedback loop. You have to make yourself better and try and do it better next time. So I try and do retrospectives all the time for everything. I'll do a micro retrospective after a day of pair coding. Just, hey, how did that feel? What should we do more of next time? What should we do differently next time? Okay, great. See you tomorrow. And I've found value in those. And I've done retrospectives on meetings. So you can actively seek feedback in lots of different ways for lots of different things. I ran as an experiment with my team. We're very used to doing retrospectives on ways of working, like what went well with this particular project. But as an experiment, I sat down and we did a code retrospective. Like, let's look in depth at the thing that we created and write down and dive into what we learned while making it. It was really great because the team were really engaged with the exercise, and I think everybody was committing to learning from what they did and incorporating feedback for next time.
that should be the outcome, and you should follow from there. Like, so what happened many times, that team discuss something, but really not agree on anything that we have to, what we has to really improve, and what the action item as a team we're going to take in the next sprint to improve as a team. That's really waste of the time as a 1 hour, 2 hours, and we never come up with something meaningful that we have to improve or agree. So really drive the discussion or as a team to find out the which area we wanted to improve, and we able to do it in the next sprint, and we committed to do that one.
Yeah, I absolutely agree on that. I've been in retrospectives where we've booked the meeting room for an hour and had a vigorous discussion and then had like 30 seconds left to decide on action points. So that's less than optimal. And sometimes when you're following the thread of a discussion, it's easy to lose track of time that way. But it does impact the quality of the meeting as a whole.
Speaking about staying on track, we have two more tips to go. What is tip number 4?
Overall, within the team should have great alignment by forming solid working agreement. What that means, I use definition of ready, definition of done. You can start with the what we can start with now, next in the couple of months, and future. So he wrote, plan out the different 3 version and agree with the product owner and other stakeholder. Say, when you say that done means done, what done means done for us?
Yes, that's something I've seen before, where teams put a lot of pressure on themselves to have the perfect DOD in the first sprint. Can you tell us more about how you help teams manage that?
When I set up the DOD for the team, and you know, usually everybody want we should cover 100% code coverage and this and that. In that situation, because we had the limitation of some legacy code and other, that the code has been transferred from the other team, and they, there's some knowledge and skill set gap. Say, okay, for now, target for the 20% of the code coverage for specific area. When we say done, we're doing this full functional coverage, completing 20% of all unit testing automation. In future, next will be our targets to cover 40%, 60%. So that's where you really engaging, agreeing with the product owner and the other member that, okay, within this current situation, how much we can do it as a team to deliver best quality product or feature.
If I can jump in, I'd say that it's really important to have these conversations and to have these discussions and to have the outcomes written down, because for everything that you would assume that everyone wants, you're going to run into disagreement. I've worked on teams where they just assumed, oh, done means in production. Whereas in this particular context, we're committing to something upstream and they have a different release cycle. So sometimes stuff will end up not in production, but there's absolutely nothing we can do about it from our end. So maybe that counts as done. You mentioned 100% test coverage. People will argue with that. I've been on teams where they've said, why are we chasing this metric? So I definitely agree that it's important to have these discussions and get the definitions for your team written down.
So more often you come across the situation that the story is not fully ready or groomed, or it's just simply said, okay, I want XYZ in description and throw to the development team, or it's reaching the sprint planning. So it, when we have definition of ready, means before coming to sprint planning, what are the components each story should have? That means proper description. What are the assumptions? What are the business values this story is bring? I use mostly Jira on my previous teams and also Rally before. So you can have that kind of checklist, and also in a Confluence if you have, it give that template or framework, say, okay, these are the different components you have to have for the stories before really we go in the grooming on the planning session.
If I can zoom in on defining business value, sometimes some of this does feel like a box ticking exercise, but from an engineer's perspective, having a definition of business value is such an incredibly useful tool. I was in a situation where my team were committing code to a microservice that someone else owned. And it was to handle a specific edge case that required specific domain knowledge to make sense of. And so being able to go in and say, yes, this does look wrong, but this is the correct way to do it, and it affects 50% of our customer base, and it's going to save us X million dollars. Having that in the back pocket to throw into the PR comments just made everything go smoother than I've ever seen a PR get accepted.
Sorry, Sean, what does PR stand for some people?
That's a pull request.
Okay, of course. Thank you for clarifying that acronym. Okay, time now for our final tip, tip number 5.
So the final tip I would suggest, each and every team should have set way to visualize to bring the transparency across the from product planning to execution and launch. What that means that you can use the any tool that you have or whiteboard or the Scrum wall, if you have in that particular area where you're working on, to really put all those things. A simple tool or dashboard to put the measure what the team available capacity, what they committed, what the actual after the sprint, what the values we deliver, those different things. That give the sense of transparency to all involved parties, from product manager, the product owner, or stakeholders. Say, okay, the team, everything visual. If you can visualize the thing, you can easily identify to improve on those areas. And that bring the trust between the team as well as the stakeholders. Say, okay, everything transparent, we're working, and we're happy to listen on that.
Okay, Sean, are dashboards something you and your teams use? And if so, what type of things do you measure?
That's something that my team was a little bit resistant to in the beginning, because we were just duplicating all the information that was on Jira. And I think as developers, as programmers, sometimes we have this picture of ourselves that we're one person sat in front of a computer and everything happens on the computer. But being able to take the sprint goals and physicalize them and make them big and prominent and on a whiteboard that was next to us where we were working, even though it is technically duplicate information, it is technically duplicate work, but being able to literally see out of the corner of your eye when something hasn't moved in a while makes a real difference. So it's using the tools of the physical space if you're on a team that has everybody working in the same physical space.
If you are using Jira, you can use the Jira dashboard. And let's say Scrum Master can take care on that part to really bring what happened in the sprint to visualize. And that dashboard can be used as a mirror. They know how's thing happening. And not from this sprint, from the previous and sprint, we can have the all data coming from that. Let's say before go to planning meeting, you need certain data like what that team capacity is doing, what has been committed, how have been doing. So if those data is as a Scrum Master, you bring handy to decide to help team to commit or decide better in the next sprint planning meeting. So that's the overall idea.
When I hear the term dashboard, I think of something that you can glance at immediately out of the corner of your eye that will tell you if things are healthy, if things are going wrong. So when we build microservices, we build an operational dashboard. I worked for a company that had giant TVs all over the office, and they showed visitors from around the world and live what's on the homepage. And if you broke the homepage, like literally the entire building would know instantly.
So we've heard about dashboards in the physical environment. Could either of you share with us some tips on how to make the most of dashboards remotely, especially given everything that's gone on this year with remote work?
When I was working remotely and had access to a Jira dashboard, I just configured my browser so that when I opened a new tab, instead of the first thing, that instead of loading a blank page, it would load the Jira dashboard. So even if I was doing literally anything else, I would get a half second glance at the dashboard. And that was a way of keeping in touch the kind of peripheral situational awareness that you would get from a physical dashboard in a physical office. And I think it helped.
We can also use integration with other messaging tools. Nowadays, all the team are using Slack or other, so you can integrate, use the hook there.
Okay, there's some great tips there. Just to wrap things up, could you both tell us what your favorite tip is and why?
So it's happened most of the time, team think a lot of large scale agile, adding this practice, that practice. If you not focus on the basic and the mindset, the core values of the principle as values for the Scrum, I think that's run sometimes travel. So keep foundation very firm, I would say. So that's why I always love this tip number one.
At the end of a project, at the end of a sprint, it's very tempting as an engineer to just wander off onto the next thing and never think about that again. But if you aren't seeking feedback and you aren't trying to learn from feedback, you are missing opportunities to be good to yourselves in the future. So retrospect early and often and for everything.
And one last question, when do you think is the right time to introduce these practices to the team?
To get more understanding how the team maturity level is improving, that's why the one another tips I mentioned earlier, the assessment. So as a Scrum Master, you're trying to getting the data from your daily, sprint retrospective and the monthly or quarterly, whatever the assessment you are doing, to see the which level of our overall agile maturity your team having. And based on that, if the certain areas you feel, let's say a few example, planning is not happening correctly or daily scrum not happening, then you bring those different tips to improve from there.
I think it's always a good time to be open to the idea of experiments. If you're going to create lasting change, it helps if there is an awareness on the team that, hey, something is wrong and causing us pain and changing it will bring value. So if you can point to a couple of sprint planning meetings that didn't go as well as they could have, then that's an that's a natural opening point to, okay, let's try this differently. In my experience, when I've come to a team and been open with my intentions and said, okay, this is an experiment, let's try this, and if it helps us, great, and if it doesn't, we'll abandon it and do something else, and committing to that, it's gone a long way in convincing the team to try things that are new.
And on that note, thanks to the both of you for being convinced enough to come on and share your thoughts and experiences today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It's really great talking to both of you and learning something new and different perspective. And thanks, Sean, for giving your point of view as well.
Yeah, thanks, Rajender. It's always great to see things from a different perspective.
So that brings us to the end of another Agile Hong Kong podcast. Those five tips again: vary the basics, set up an Agile maturity assessment, make your retrospectives meaningful, create clear working agreements using definition of ready and definition of done, and make the most of dashboards and indicators to help keep your team on track. Thanks for listening to this episode, and stay tuned for more. We're hoping we can run physical meetups soon, but again, we just have to wait and see. For the time being, please stay safe, take care, and we'll catch you next time.